Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Scott Burks met you with the Clown Hour. You can catch my blog or read my blog, The Clown Times, on the web at www.theclowntimes.net. That's clown spelled with a K, by the way. And you can find me on Facebook, too. Just do a search on Facebook for The Clown Times. Again, that's clown spelled with a K. You'll be able to find me. We're going to have a special treat tonight. Well, I know I keep calling every show a special treat, but... But at any rate, I know this is going to be different because we'll be talking Duke football, actually, for the 2013 season, the record-setting 2013 season, I might add. They've won 10 wins this season. That's the first time a Duke University football team from any like type of reincarnation, if you will, has won 10 games in the season. And this is the first time that they've been Coastal Division champs. It's also the first time that they've actually played for a conference championship in so many years. And last but not least, this is the first time that they've had back-to-back bowl seasons ever. And it's not so illustrious football history. But anyway, we're going to be talking to J.D. King from Duke Basketball Report. That's the official Duke blog from SB Nation. So he's going to be joining us momentarily. So in the meantime, I'm going to go over a few highlights from the Duke football team this season. Well, first of all, like I said before, they won 10 wins. If you look at the teams they beat along the way, first of all, this is the first time I almost forgot to mention this, that they beat not only was just one ranked team, but two ranked teams in one season. That would be Virginia Tech on the road and Miami at home. And it was impressive how the Blue Devils won both of those games. Duke is known as not primarily, but really an offensive team. Under Coach Dave Cutcliffe, who's recently been named the Maxwell Coach of the Year, and deservedly so. Sorry, Gus Malzahn from Auburn, but at any rate, under his direction, he has experienced improved quarterback play, whether it be from Renfro or get the names of here, but both the quarterbacks from this season, they had a two quarterback system. And, they've averaged, like, over 30 points a game. But the defense normally, has been letting them down for the past couple of seasons. But this year, it didn't start so promising. They gave up, not only did they give up 30 points to the loss to Georgia Tech at home, but the following week they gave up 58 points to Pitt. Now, mind you, in that same game against Pitt, Duke scored 55. So you figure any team scores a lot of points, let alone over 30 points, let alone 55, 9 times out of 10 should get the win. But I guess in this one particular case, they didn't get the win. But anyway, as far as quarterbacks go, Anthony Boone and Brandon Connette. Brandon Connette was the quote-unquote running quarterback, if you will. And Anthony Boone was more the traditional passer. But at any rate, they both their world this season. They both threw over 10 touchdown passes, at least 10 touchdown passes, with the latter, Carnett, actually filling in for Boone admirably as Boone, you know, after Boone suffered a shoulder injury to not only begin the, well, not begin the season, but he suffered it during the Memphis win, the win in Memphis, which was the second game of the season, actually. So, but I say all that about their offense because put up a lot of points, Davey and Duke. They normally put up a lot of points. But against Virginia Tech in week eight, I'm sorry, yeah, in week eight, they scored only 13, but they ended up winning. And that's because, you know, even though it was that particular game in Blacksburg, it was a turnover fest, the defense actually showed up. Duke's defense showed up and held Virginia Tech to just 10 points, which if you consider the history of Duke, you know, Duke normally in games against Virginia Tech when it's ugly, when the weather was not so great as well. I think it was raining that day. It was just miserable conditions. Normally you see Duke teams in the past just tap out. You know, Virginia Tech's very physical. They get up in your face. They beat you up. They wear you down. But in this case, Duke won with the defense. In that case, I should say Duke won with the defense. And then if you go a couple weeks later against the U, Miami, the Miamis came into that game 23rd in the nation, and they ended up, you know, giving up 48 points to Duke. So, you know, this has been a great year. This has been a special year. And this is not including, actually, where this is also includes, like, Duke coming back from 22 points down at Virginia. You know, that was a week before the Virginia Tech game. So, whenever a game screamed letdown, that Virginia game in Charlottesville screamed it. They went down, they being the Blue Devils, went down 22-0, and then scored the game's last 35 points. Awesome, epic. That's when I knew then. I had an idea, but not when I knew that Duke had something special. What sealed the deal for me was them winning in Blacksburg the following week against Virginia Tech. So props to the Blue Devils this season and whatnot. And, you know, we'll see what happens against Texas A&M and the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Now, you know, I know that that Duke got the doors blown off against Florida State, but it's Florida State they played. I mean, come on. I mean, anyone reasonable did not expect Duke to keep within 20 points. Now, what I was impressed with was the fact that Duke hung with Florida State in the first quarter. As a matter of fact, I think Florida State scored only 7 points in that first quarter, but Duke squandered many chances in that first quarter. You know, dropped pass that went for a touchdown. They didn't take advantage of any opportunities or turnovers that Florida State afforded them. And as you saw the second quarter turn, like the way the second quarter unfolded, you kind of figured that Duke knew that they, you know, was just so overmatched to the point where they were just wearing out. But one great thing I did like about that game from a Duke's perspective was that they actually, the Blue Devils hit Florida State hard and often. They leveled so many kill shots. I hate using that word, but kill shots. It was just so impressive the way, Duke fought, even though they knew in the back of their heads that they were so overmatched. But props to them again, and it's great. So basically, to see Coach Clifford, going back to Coach Clifford for a minute, he's responsible for orchestrating these back-to-back winning seasons, back-to-back bowl seasons for the first time ever in Duke University football history. Even though that may seem surprising for some, and quite frankly, it was the case to me at first, you got to keep in mind that Coach Cutcliffe is an SEC guy. you know, he coached Peyton Manning when the two were in Tennessee. You know, I believe that Cutcliffe was served as Phil Fulmer's offensive coordinator, and you know, I don't know if it's an urban legend, but, you know, it's a story about how Cutcliffe's soul was able to dissuade Peyton Manning from going to Ole Miss, you know, and his father, Archie Manning's alma mater, and the same school that Cutcliffe would later lure his brother Eli Manning to, you know, when Cutcliffe was the head coach at Ole Miss. So I get to the Ole Miss side of things in a minute, but at any rate, you know, he was able to mold Peyton Manning to help him mold him into the player he is now in the NFL. And then, you know, going, you know, fast forward a bit to his time at Ole Miss, you know, when he was the head coach, when he led Ole Miss to bowl seasons, to 8 wins, 9 wins, which for Ole Miss, you know, even though Ole Miss does have a football tradition that comes from the time of the 60s, but, you know, since the early 60s, they haven't really experienced much football success from that point until Cutcliffe came to town. So at any rate, I say all that to, you know, to convey the following point. Coach Cutcliffe, David Cutcliffe, that is, knew what it takes to win, being in the SEC, and that's recruiting speed and more speed. And, you know, even though Duke does have stringent academic requirements, which goes to show the genius of Cutcliffe, how he was able to recruit smart guys who excelled in the classroom, but who was able to put it together on the field in the SEC like fashion. You know, I mean, look at the two Duke teams from the past two seasons, you know, last season, this season, especially this season. You know, they have a lot of speed on offense. I mean, they can run the ball well. I mean, they wore down Miami, you know, in that 48-30 victory with big plays, splash plays, and good timing plays from the defense as well. And I think for that reason, you know, Duke is going to keep the success going for a little while as long as Coach Cutcliffe is in town. And while I do realize that Duke does have limited resources, I mean, it's a private school, it's a small school, not the smallest school in Division I, I should say the FBS, but, you know, they do have financial constraints, you know, because they're not a state school, basically. But recently, Duke, I mean, the athletic director at Duke actually either at least made a pledge or is in the process of putting more money into the football program. And you're seeing the results. I think Duke is getting a new practice facility if they don't already have one. And also, you know, and this also speaks to the genius of Cutcliffe, is him hosting the Manning Passing Academy every summer at Duke University campus. So, if for those of you who don't know what the Manning Passing Academy is all about, basically a lot of college players. Top college players, including, I think it's a couple weeks, passing camp, like working on drills and everything, and it's headed by not only David Cutcliffe, but by Peyton and Eli Manning. So think about that for a minute. If you're a high school quarterback, whether you're a three-star, four-star, five-star recruit, you know, it doesn't really matter. And if David Cutcliffe shows up at your door and is able to tell you that if you come to my school, not only will you become a better passer, but you get to meet Eli, Peyton and Eli Manning, and participate, and have a chance to participate at the Manning Passing Academy. How many quarterbacks, high school quarterbacks, would say no to that? How many would honestly say, you know what, Coach Cutcliffe, I don't know about that. I don't know about spending time with the Manning brothers and getting to pick their brains and interact with other top college quarterbacks and and pick their brains and see what makes them great and everything else. And so I'll pass and go to University B or University C. You know, he knows what the hell he's doing. And for that reason, well, that reason and many other reasons, you know, I think that he can keep the success going for a long time, which, you know, which may not, I know people outside the ACC, like in the media, fans, whoever, may not think that's such a good thing, because you figure if the ACC wants to be really, 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 really good again, aside from Florida State and Clemson, they have to have teams like, you know, Miami and Virginia Tech and maybe Georgia Tech step up their games. Maybe North Carolina to a certain extent step their games up. But I'm telling you, Duke being good, Duke being included in that conversation is not necessarily a bad thing, especially since Miami's an uptick, especially since Vitek's long, long going to get better next year, especially since UNC discovered a quarterback of the future, Marquise Williams. I think the sky's the limit for the conference as a whole. So it's not fair to actually just assume that that Duke's success is not good overall for ACC. I think it's great for the ACC, actually. So at any rate, it bodes a good thing. It bodes a good future for Duke that that they're able to keep the party going. Now, this is about the Peach Bowl. Going forward a few weeks to the Peach Bowl. I know there are a lot of people who are hating on Duke. The selection of Duke to play in the Peach Bowl, because a lot of people thought there was some political reason involved, like some backdoor dealings to put Duke there over Miami to face Texas A&M. You know, that the head of the Peach Bowl actually came out and said that that he wanted Duke all along, and that, you know, that there were not any backroom dealings, there were not any, you know, conspiracy theory like, you know, reasons to go with Duke over with Miami, other than the simple fact that Duke was technically the second best team in the ACC this year. They were the conference championship game runners up, and typically, the past few seasons, the Chick-fil-A Bowl almost always took the team that finished second, and like in the championship game, the ACC championship game, to Atlanta. Except with the only exception being last year, when Georgia Tech had to be the Coastal Division's representative by default, because both Miami and North Carolina were ruled ineligible last season to actually compete in any postseason games. So basically, if there weren't any suspensions, if there weren't any probation on another team last year, I think that Miami would have gotten a nod. Because I think last year Miami beat Carolina at Miami. So Miami would have gotten a nod, and I think I had a quick thought. It would have been close for the Hurricanes to get the selection over Clemson last year. I mean, Clemson did lose just two games last season, and this past season as well. But last season they finished the regular season 10-2 before winning that epic Chick-fil-A Bowl against LSU last season. But at any rate, you know, I think no matter what, because Clemson has such a great season, and being that Florida State for some reason had two hiccups, one against NC State, and then the second one was an ass kicking by Florida at home, no less. They couldn't qualify for any BCS championship game, so that pushed Clemson all the way down to the Peach Bowl. So I think either way, last year would have been the exception as far as the Peach Bowl picking as the actual Coastal Division winner last season, because Clemson was that good. But at any rate, I guess J.D. King, he's trying to. He hasn't called in yet, so I'm gonna keep the party going. But at any rate, I'm going to close on a couple of things. As far as how this looks for the ACC in general going forward, you know, I mentioned Duke's success, possibly having some staying power in the next few seasons, upcoming seasons. Here's one thing that ACC is going to look like. I think that since, I don't want to say I think, I do know for a fact that recruiting has really improved under Al Golden in Miami. I mean, the fact of the matter is, for the Hurricanes to win nine games under the cloud of the NCAA, the cloud of the NCAA heads, that heads the entire season, and to know that they won't be facing any more penalties, I think the sky's the limit down there for Al Golden Company. I really think that Miami, depending on how the quarterback play is the next season, I mean, hell, they couldn't get any worse than Stephen Morris, who at times flashed well. I mean, he actually played decent this year, but there were times where he looked like Ja'Cory Harris. And for you fans of the U out there, know who Ja'Cory Harris is. So how bad he was, at least while inconsistent he was for the U for so many years. I just think with running back Duke Johnson coming back next season, hopefully a much healthier Duke Johnson coming back next season, and more of those young players on defense, like having a couple, like having another year under their belts, and to improve their play upon this past season, and the offensive line play, which was served as one of the team's strengths, because that helped pave the way and open the holes for Duke Johnson and his backup, and the big play receiver, in the good play, and the big plays, the wide receiver corps produced for the U. I think that Miami is going to be the favorites in the Coastal Division next year. There's not no disrespect to Duke. I think Duke's going to still do pretty well next season. I just think that Miami would actually step it up a bit. And actually, will challenge, but I'd be surprised if they do lose the Coastal Division again to Duke like next season. And I think Virginia Tech is going to step up and improve its play. And I think I don't know what to make of Georgia Tech. You know, Paul Johnson. I mean, it's like he got out of fat and happy after he beat Georgia his first year at the helm, and been getting outclassed by Georgia for the past four or five seasons since. And it seems like they lumped the actual administration down at Georgia Tech down Atlanta. It's pretty much satisfied with winning 7 to 8 wins every year. So good for Paul Johnson, I guess. But I think Carolina's going to be the real dog horse. I hate to say that as a NC State grad, but I think Carolina is going to be a lot better next year. I think, like I said, Marquise Williams is going to be a lot better next year. He was a freshman. Keep in mind, folks, he was a freshman. So next season, I have a year of experience coming back. And I think that he's the type of quarterback that Coach Larry Fedora would want for his spread offensive system. I mean, God bless the other quarterback before he got hurt, Brent Renner. But, he was not the quarterback that Larry Fedora would like to fit in the system. Hard worker, and as far as I know, a great guy. But I think that he being Renner was not a good fit. And you saw that after he went down, that Marquise Williams helped lead the Tar Heels to those consecutive wins before the Duke game, which they could actually won that game as well. And set the Coastal Division to further chaos in terms of whose representative would have been for the championship game. But, it is what it is, I guess. I think that, and coupled with the fact that Louisville's coming to the ACC to take the place in Maryland, peace out, bastards. since Maryland is going to the Big Ten. And as far as Maryland goes, I'm just going to just say this for a minute. You know, Maryland finished with 7 wins and a so-so ACC this season. Now, if you look at some of their wins, they got a bit lucky against both Virginia and Virginia Tech. So if you take those 2 wins away, they would not be bowl eligible for the I think the 3rd season in a row under Randy Edsall. Now, even with those 2 wins against Virginia and Vitek, you know, Maryland only had 3 wins, 3 conference wins. They only had 3 conference wins. They beat down my alma mater, NC State, because, I mean, let's say NC State sucks a bit. But that was the only real convincing win they've had. I mean, they lost to Boston College and Syracuse at home. And, you know, they got the asses kicked by Florida State. But then again, who didn't get the asses kicked by Florida State? But they got dusted by Clemson at home as well. So for the Maryland Terps fans out there, you know, how do you think you guys, how bad do you guys think you'll be in the Big Ten next year? I mean, granted, the Big Ten wasn't all that better than ACC. I thought that they were both equally kind of mediocre. But still, do you really expect them, the Maryland Terrapins, to compete against the likes of Ohio State, Michigan State, Wisconsin, Penn State, I could go on, Nebraska. Hell, I think even Rutgers will give them a run for their money. And Rutgers is going to really get their behinds kicked. But at any rate, that's not here or there. The point is that what Maryland, you know, fans of Maryland, you guys may get a much bigger check in the end. You guys may even have those 7 sports, including track and field, restored, the likely course of that. But I hope those long, very long, in some cases very long, if you're talking about going to Iowa in the middle of the week, like road trips, and that's in the subsequent asking that you're all going to get in football and maybe basketball as well, I hope it's all well worth it in the end. Ask West Virginia how they're doing in the Big 12 if you need a close reference there. But at any rate, enough about Maryland. But I think that Louisville will make the ACC a lot better, at least a lot competitive, especially since they're coming to the Atlantic Division. I mean, think about this lineup for a minute. You got Florida State and Clemson in the Atlantic Division, and now you're going to bring a Louisville, who's well coached by Charlie Strong. And even though Teddy Bridgewater may not be back for a senior year, even though right now he's kind of indecisive right now, between coming back and going to the pros, he would be, you know, he's projected to be the first quarterback taken in the draft, probably in the top 10. But let's just say for a minute, let's just pretend for a minute that he doesn't come back. You still have a well-oiled machine in Louisville. You know, Charlie Strong can recruit like no other. And now he can sell the fact that, you know, to recruits in Florida, Georgia, wherever, south of Mason-Dixon line, that, you know, we will be playing Florida State, we will be playing Clemson, some years we'll be playing Miami, you know, and some years we'll be playing Georgia Tech. You know, I mean, the thing is that they have a broader recruiting space, and Charlie Strong, like I said, can do it like no other. He's among the best recruiters in the country. And I think it's going to be very interesting in the Atlantic. It's just that too bad for people like the teams like Boston College and Syracuse that will be playing for 4th place. But at any rate, I mean, the fact remains is that the ACC, I think, will become a lot better, next season and season beyond. And maybe once they get the ACC channel up and running, then the sky's the limit. But basically, the ACC could thank Florida State for finally acting like Florida State and compete for a national championship this year, and for Miami to even have glimpses of the old Miami, and even Virginia Tech for their short stretch acting like the Virginia Tech that they were supposed to be, all these, you know, like even though Biotech, I would say that they've done more than their share of hosting up the ACC banner and representing every season. But it's nice to have some company at the top. Nice to have Clemson doing this thing. It's nice to have, like I said, Florida State compete for a national championship against Auburn, which I think Florida State should win by at least 2 touchdowns, by the way. And because of that, I think ACC football, you know, it's improving. There's other uptick and everything, and it's all good. So that's all I have to say about that. So high hopes for ACC, not only for ACC football, but high hopes for Duke football. And, you know, it should be fun next year, folks. It should be fun. So anyway, that's all I have. And like I said, you know, JD wasn't able to join us tonight, but we'll work it out. We'll reschedule. So anyway, for now, this is Scott Burks, and thanks for tuning in. And thank you for bearing with me during that little soliloquy. And, you know, Merry Christmas to you all, and Happy New Year, all that good stuff. Just don't get fat and happy off of that holiday food. And don't rub too much debt in, you know, trying to get those Christmas late Christmas presents from the late Christmas shopping. And be cool, stay warm, peace out, 06, good night.